New Testament lesson for today comes from Matthew's Gospel, reading from chapter 6, an interruption in the Sermon of the Mount to include Jesus' specific teachings on prayer. We'll be reading from verse 7 down through verse 15. Listen for God's Word today. Jesus said, "When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And God bless the reading of God's word to our own wisdom and faith and insight. Let us pray. Gracious God, gather once more with us and move through our words and our thoughts that we might be enlivened once more by your grace and sent forth fully endowed, fully empowered to be your disciples of word and hope. Be with us now, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this world, there are groups with seemingly irreconcilable differences. Palestinians and Israelis, conservative Republicans, liberal Democrats, Steelers fans, Browns fans. So I decided to leap into the midst of one of these thorny issues that have divided people over the generations. Namely, which word are we supposed to say in the Lord's Prayer? Debts or trespasses? Now, in truth, exploring this topic fits perfectly within the spirit of Rally Day, reminding us that it's through our commitment to Bible study, through engaging deeply in God's Word, that we grow as believers. And this Word study will move us into the larger questions of what are human sins, and what does it mean to worship a God who forgives sin? Why do we pray the Lord's Prayer? The simple answer, as Heather mentioned, is because Jesus tells us to. In Matthew and in Luke, the story is told how the disciples approach Jesus asking, "How should we pray?" Now, prayer is a huge topic. So Jesus described for them a short prayer that summarizes all the important things that normally should be included when praying to God. Remember when Jesus was asked one day to summarize the entire Torah and to say which are the most important commandments of all? And Jesus did so by saying, "You should love God and love your neighbor as yourself." Well, in the same way, there was a long Jewish prayer called the Shemone Esrei, or it means the 18 benedictions. Now, this long prayer was prayed by the faithful at least three times a day. It was offering up various petitions to God. So Jesus' Lord's Prayer is, in effect, an informal summary of the longer Jewish prayer. The Lord's Prayer is more succinct in what it asks, but it's also more bold because it begins by addressing God with the familiar term Abba, Father, Daddy. And that language and that prayer quickly became a touchstone marking all the disciples who were following Jesus Christ in the early church communities. Now, literally an entire sermon could be preached on each of the nine stanzas of the Lord's Prayer, but we're only going to focus on stanza 6 today. "Forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors or those who trespass against us." So which word did Jesus use? Neither. because Jesus did not speak English. It's important to get that out there. More than likely, what Jesus did was he took this longer Jewish prayer in Hebrew, and he summarized the Lord's Prayer in the language of his region and his day, which was Aramaic, a blend of Hebrew and Greek. Then this story was encapsulated in Matthew's Gospel, where it was written in Greek. Later, as the Bible was compiled and organized for Christian worship, that passage and others were translated into Latin, and only from the Latin version did we eventually have a first stab at translating Jesus' words into English. Now, since we don't have an Aramaic gospel, we look to the Greek versions to give us the closest indicators of what Jesus might have said long ago. So, as I mentioned, the prayer is in two gospels, Matthew and in Luke. The problem is that for this particular stanza, they use different verbs. Matthew says, "Forgive us our debts." And Luke says, guess what? "Forgive us our sins." So where did trespasses come from? Well, in truth, it's simply another synonym for sins, and it comes from the very next verse that we heard read in Matthew's Gospel after the Lord's Prayer. That third word appears in the verse where we're told, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses." So three synonyms exist within this one stanza of the Lord's Prayer: debts, sins, trespasses. So how did we end up with two dominant versions? As far as I can tell, every Bible translation of Matthew 6:12 uses the phrase, "Forgive us our debts," except for one version, the Tyndale version of 1525. Now remember, as the scripture worked its way from Greek to Latin to Old English, all along that verse was translated as either debts or sins, including the earliest English translation that we have that was done by John Wycliffe in 1382. But when the printing press was invented, another Englishman, William Tyndale, did his own English translation of the New Testament, which became part of the first printing press, mass-produced version of the English Bible. And Tyndale alone, not Wycliffe before him, not the King James Version after him, but Tyndale in the 1600s translated it as, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Henry VIII, in all of his royal splendor leading the Anglican Church, loved Tyndale's version. So at some point, that royal stamp of approval, coupled with an adoption of that version by the English speakers of the Roman Catholic Church, led to two competing versions in one line of the Lord's Prayer. Richard Ceramani, our music director emeritus, in his wisdom used to sit back there at the organ console, and when it came to this part of the Lord's Prayer, invariably he would say, "Lord, forgive us as we forgive others," and skip the controversy altogether. There is a really much difference between these synonyms of sin, debt, and trespasses. Not really. And that's why in our worship service we encourage you to say the version with which you are most comfortable. The Greek word for debts can mean literal debts, owing someone something financial, but it can also mean a figurative debt, the ways that we fall short of goals and proper standards of behavior. Think of it as sins of omission, failing to take advantage of every possible opportunity to do what is good. On the other hand, the Greek word for trespasses means faults, mishaps, straying from the path of righteousness. Think of that as referring to sins of commission, doing things that we're not supposed to do. And both words, debts and trespasses, are synonyms for sin, which ultimately is the real focus of the stanza in the first place. So what are sins? Sins are what everyone else does that really ticks us off, but when you and I do it, it's simply an honest mistake. Okay, I'm kidding. That's not right. Don't quote me. But let's try that again. All of us have been created in the image of God, the likeness of God, whatever our gender, skin color, sexual orientation, our age, our height, our weight, that likeness is in us and with us. But it must be acknowledged that this likeness is incomplete or imperfect. Because unlike God, we are finite, not eternal. Unlike God, we are changing, fickle, and fallible. Sin is that which obscures or distorts the image of God in each one of us. Now, can I be more specific? Well, we can be more specific by talking about debts, about falling short of the standards God sets for us and Christ has embodied for us. It's like the parable of the sheep and goats, when Jesus sent away one group because they did not welcome the stranger. They did not clothe the naked or feed the hungry when they had opportunity to do so, saying, when you did not do these things, it is as if you did not do them to me. We can also, though, speak about trespasses, when we cross over a line and our deeds stray from the path of righteousness. It's like the Israelites who grew impatient when Moses was up on Mount Sinai meeting with God and getting the Ten Commandments. And in their impatience, they gathered up their gold jewelry and melted them down and formed a golden calf as an idol to worship and to acknowledge in place of God. Sins are things that we do and things that we fail to do. Sins are also personal, and they are communal. Sins are when we waste food, pollute the earth, lie to others, withhold from those in need. But sins are also when we as cities and as nations and as churches waste food, pollute the earth, lie and break promises, pass laws that withhold basic necessities from those in need, engage in wars that kill the young and the innocent. Sin is always more than just some list of moral laws that we break. Sin ultimately is denying that God is God. Denying that we are utterly dependent on that God and that we are all called to live in caring and loving mutual relationships with everyone. And in that failure, in those trespasses, we fail to reflect the image of God. And that's why we pray, Abba, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us and trespass and have their debts to us. Because without praying that, without seeking that, we are utterly lost and alone. Let me conclude with two quick points. First, when we offer prayers of forgiveness, asking for God's grace, those are not empty words. Those are not bottle rockets that we light and we watch them spark against the night sky and soar heavenwards until they explode and disappear and fade from sight and memory. The prayers that we pray to Abba, to our God, who is constant in the desire to forgive us, whose grace is sufficient for our needs, are prayers to one who hears, who wants to hear, who wants to act. And that is the hope and the promise that literally enfolds us when we bow our heads and say, Abba, our Father. Secondly, I recently heard a lecture that was given at Chautauqua Institution by a woman named Molly Williamson. Molly is an expert on energy and politics. And she, near the end of her lecture, said this startling phrase. She said, "In our world, resource-related conflict is not inevitable." Now, that wasn't a faith statement, but the words had faith implications. She said, resource-related war, conflict in this world is not inevitable. And I thought, are you crazy? Haven't we always been told that the scarcity of natural resources will lead us inexorably to war? That the global rabid demand for oil will keep the Middle East full of unrest forever? That the scarcity of clean water will be the cutting-edge issue dividing Israel and Palestine for generations and bring ecological catastrophe to all of Africa? But Williams boldly asserted that such conflicts and wars are only inevitable if we do nothing. If we do nothing to procure clean, renewable, reliable sources of energy, if we allow violence to be the only means for resolution of conflict. And I heard her speak those words, and I thought to myself, I'd always assumed that these wars were going to be inevitable because humans are sinful and resources are limited, and our fixation on our needs and wants will always end up in wars over who controls what. But imagine if Christ stood in the Sermon on the Mount and said the same phrase in his own language, that resource-related conflict is not inevitable because sin is not absolutely inevitable. Yes, we fall short of the image of God. Yes, we do sins of omission and sins of commission, our debts and our trespasses. But that is not the final word. Forgiveness is. Prayer is. Mercy is. And so we've been taught, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Grant us strength to resist temptation. Spare us from evil and times of trial. For you, Abba, our God, to you is true power and power for and with, not power over, and to you is glory and praise and hope and life now and forever. That Lord's Prayer may be a summary, but it says everything that needs to be said. And by saying it, by praying it, by believing it, sin is not inevitable. Thanks be to God. Amen. We do come before God to lift up prayers, with specific prayers that violent words and deeds may cease. When violent acts, choosing to burn others' scriptures, are set before us, choosing to deny humanity that is shared by all, choosing to defame a faith we hold dear, we ask for God to intercede, even as we intercede. As people of courage, of witness, of trust and faith, let us bring our prayers before God. Let us pray. Great and wonderful are your works, O God. They are worthy to be praised. For you are the shepherd who does not rest until the sheep are safely gathered, the tender of treasure who searches for even one coin until it is found, the one who in Christ Jesus came to redeem a lost and fallen world, in whose body our sins have been borne, in whose death our guilt has been redeemed, and by his resurrection our lives have been given new hope. Give us this day a measure of your patience as we seek the wandering. Give us guidance as we lead all home, walking together in faith and humility, trusting in your hand to bring us safe at last. Give us ears to hear your source of enlightenment as it might be spoken in the world around us, within our own scriptures and our own communities, but within the voices of those outside our walls and even outside our own traditions, that something deeper and richer than what we might articulate might be heard, and this world might know true peace at last. For all that are ill this day, we ask for strength and healing mercies. For all that are afraid, we ask for hope. For all who struggle in places of violence and warfare, we ask for protection. Lord, bring healing, bring peace. Forgive us as we forgive others. Hear us now as we offer the prayer of our heart, shaped by the words your Son, our Savior, has taught us, as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Power and the glory forever. Power and the glory forever.